Hi everyone, welcome to part two. Unfortunately, due to the Skype drop-off, it does not match up with the end of part one. What happened there?
You fell off.
Ah, I thought everyone else
fell off. It's been happening a lot tonight.
Sorry, kids. Damn it!
No worries. Are you got the recording button? Is that still?
It's doing its thing, yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Bloody hell.
Oh, well, never mind. You missed a great discussion.
Oh, man, it must have been amazing.
We solved the world's problems.
Awesome. Yeah. Next thing on the agenda.
but our minds being the way are, we've forgotten what we were talking about.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think we're back at the highway.
Yeah. So just trying to, we have to understand that the patterning system of our brain, which is brilliant for, what would it be like? It would be like a wonderful, maybe be like the Incredible Hulk or something, you know, really big and strong and gets things done and you don't fuck with it, but does not have the delicacy to create a wonderful meal or make a quilt or, you know, create really different ideas. It's a bulky thing, very useful, but our job is as the quilter or the weaver or the master baker, the designer. This is the thing that we have abdicated. We have given up this responsibility to create. And I meant to put in my article, maybe I'll go back. I was so tired. I had this idea because I was using the Pantheon as like our minds. As a picture of our minds. And Pantheon means the temple of all gods. So I was playing with the idea that our patterns become gods. Okay? If we don't interrupt the patterns and let them get bigger and bigger and bigger, they become these huge gods that then we bow down to.
Wow. Yeah.
I will actually. I'll go back and I'll add it in because I had some other information. So there's a series called Discworld, which is kind of
I really like that.
You know that one?
Mm-hmm.
It's a sci-fi series. So and this
I'm just looking at pictures of the Pantheon. I mean, it's all little squares.
Yeah.
Perfect patterns.
Yeah. I had so many ideas. That article is just Sinead's gone now.
Oh God. Bloody hell. It's sunspots, isn't it?
She's back in.
Bloody sunspot.
God, I really don't know why that keeps happening. That's really weird.
That's just that's the Illuminati, because we're really onto something here.
Oh,
Illuminati!
Yeah.
Naughty, Illuminati. But you're naughty this week. This week we did bad things somewhere. You will never know what they are, but they were bad! Thank you, Illuminati spokesman. And next week, what have you planned? We're going to do something double plus bad. Somewhere. But it won't tell you where until it happens, and then it'll be bad. Thank you for that. Now fuck off.
This message was brought to you by...
the Bilderberg Foundation.
Yep.
By the way, if there are any Bilderberg reps listening in, we could seriously use some funding at our end. We're doing good work here, and you guys aren't giving us any money or credit.
That's right, yeah, because, you know, we're making them really... Actually, what are we doing?
Oh, well, I don't know.
I have no idea.
But we mentioned them. There we go.
There you go. That's applied. All the conspiracy people out there will be going, oh, they're in on it. They're part of it.
Right. Dragging your minds back to the Pantheon and the gods of our patterns.
Yeah.
In the sci-fi series Discworld, there is a bit about how the gods are created by people giving them attention.
Mm-hmm.
And the more attention they get, the bigger they get. When people remove their attention and don't pay them, you know, don't think about them anymore, they just shrivel away and die.
Yeah.
Wow.
Now that
this is interesting.
Yeah. So supposedly within our mind, our patterns are the same. So the patterns are in there, and I think, yeah, they get bigger and bigger. And surely, I mean, I can look into my own life and see just fucking huge, horrible, I hate them patterns from childhood.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That I have not been able to budge. You know, I have tried to, you know, napalm them and beat them to death and get the chainsaw out. I haven't tried the whipped cream. I'm not sure about that one. Nothing has worked. They are still there.
Mm-hmm.
But if I understand that is the nature of the system, okay, and One of the things apparently is you cannot put one pattern on top of another, which I think is what we all try and do. Yep. We see a pattern and we don't want it. We want it to go away. Got to get rid of it. So we try and force something on top of it. What De Bono said, you can't do that. Okay. So whatever pattern was put there, the one that got there first, that's there. There's nothing, in a sense, you can do about it, about that pattern. What you do is you, further down the line, you build new patterns. And as you build up that pattern, you're no longer feeding all your attention to the earlier one. And it begins to crumble and just, dissolve. But we keep trying to beat and crush and kill our patterns, you know. It doesn't work that way. Our job is to create new ones.
Mm-hmm.
But again, we don't have the tools. We haven't been given the tools. We're put through, you know, years and years of torturous schooling, never given one useful tool.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's our job now. If we understand how the mind works, then maybe we stop fighting our mind. We also understand it's very limited in certain ways, and that without our conscious input and efforts, it is just going to go haywire. You know, you've put a brick on the accelerator of a Lamborghini and you've walked away.
Yep.
You know, that's what we've done. Much better to get in, take the brick off, put your foot on and actually steer it. So the steering is what we're not doing. So I was thinking with the gods, is this what happens when we don't steer our own one, you know, with the pantheon thing, these gods become huge in our head. The gods are patterns.
Mm-hmm. Wow. I mean, I'm just thinking about the whole Jehovian mindset and this pattern making. I wonder.
Well, it is. I mean, all the stories of Jehovah, that they're as cruel and inhuman as... But isn't that our mind? Doesn't our mind run the most inhumanity?
Yep.
Yeah.
If I'm walking around in a daze, these last few days, finally grasping that the purpose of life is happiness.
Hmm.
I mean, how fucked up is that? Fucked up in two ways, that it should take me that long, that it should make me feel dazed to actually consider it, you know, like, wow, really? Could that be it? And it's amazing how my mind goes back to, oh, but all the things I've seen, say, in the news or growing up, you know, about all the suffering in the world.
Yeah.
To have to try and count that, go, hold on, the purpose of life is happiness.
Hmm. Yeah.
That is so fucked. If that should be so hard to consider, I will look at myself and go, Jesus, you are so fucked in the head. And I will agree.
But that's the garden path we got led down as kids and reinforced. I mean, like you say, I think I'm thinking of a couple of things here. I mean, you've got anyone who's trying to beat any kind of addiction needs to replace negative patterns of behavior or destructive patterns of behavior with new patterns of behavior, which are going to override.
But there again, you can't override it.
Or supplant. That's kind
of one pattern on top of another.
Yeah. I had it described to me once. It seemed to be quite sensible, where you start doing the thing that works for you so much that you stop doing the thing that doesn't work for you.
So that would be like you're in a jungle and you keep walking down one path. Then you decide to walk a new path. So as you walk that new path every day, you're not walking the old one.
Yeah.
The old one
starts growing over a bit.
Starts growing over.
Yeah.
So... you don't do anything with that. You simply don't walk it anymore.
Yeah.
Is my understanding. Sorry, I jumped in.
Yeah, I think that's the one, isn't it? That's where we're heading. Yep.
And that's exactly what because I'm doing this process at the moment. It's like a amygdala retraining. It's a system for chronic fatigue, and it's what you have to do. You have to break every negative thought. You have to interrupt each negative thought, stop it in its tracks. Then you put your attention on a positive route. So you interrupt one.
Yes.
But you don't try and fight it or break it. And then you physically choose a different route, a different way.
Hmm.
Yeah,
and that's that's fundamental to, if you've ever watched, I mean you have, but when you watch kids playing and if you can eavesdrop on them and some of that little chatter that they have. They do some quite cutesy things, how they can change directions in quite surprising ways. If you ask them what they're doing, sometimes they can be quite clear and quite frank, or sometimes they just like shrug, they don't know, but they're doing whatever it is they're doing. And that it's easy. They have this easy flow of going from here to there to over there to over here. Now I'm doing this, and now I'm thinking that, and now I'm playing this way. And it's like, yeah, it all makes perfect sense because it's not logicked out. You know, it just functions. We have kind of lost that as we get to adulthood, where, you know, what are you thinking about now? Well, I'm thinking about the square root of pi. But you know, you've got to get your head into some sort of, like, you're always using your thoughts to do something productive.
Yeah, thoughts and the words and the language. So it's like we've bypassed life by words. So we'll talk about it rather than actually doing it.
Yeah.
De Bono talks about the English, I think, the language, but the English language as being a museum of ignorance. So one way, because all the words we use were created eons ago.
Mm.
We have no say in them. You know, it's like something that's been handed down, like clothes that have been handed down from your great, 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 great grandmother or grandfather. You know, you got to use those.
Mm.
No, well, they don't fit and they've got holes in them.
And they stink.
Yeah. Out of mothballs and whatever else.
This one's got a musket ball hole in it. What the hell?
Yeah. So we haven't had a new, we need a new wardrobe of words.
Mm.
Especially Sinead, who's in a wardrobe.
Quite literally.
No, I'm out of the closet now.
You've come out of the closet. All right.
That's not a double entendre, by the way. For our listeners out there,
really was sitting in a closet earlier.
Sinead was actually sitting in a closet. That's a square box where you hang your clothes. Now that's the rainbow show you've got to tune into. That's another day. That's not on right now. We'll have to schedule a session. We'll do a session. That'll be fantastic fun. The mind.
Yeah, the mind and the system. So you think the mind's not going to change as such, okay? The mind is the mind, and it works a specific way. So it works a certain way. And so if we understand how it works, that's like understanding, you know, roughly the mechanics of the engine in your car, or how to get your computer working, you know. Just if you've got the basics, that's really good, so you don't do stupid things like, you know, trying to put toast into your computer or
use it in the shower.
Exactly.
That's always a plus.
Yeah. But I know you do strange things in the South Island. But
we have to. Nothing works down here.
That's true. So if we got the mechanics, that's actually really positive for us. Okay, we won't fuck up so much. So and we can grasp that. I think we can grasp it enough, a proto truth, enough to work with. So then comes the other thing: what is the system of thinking that we're using? Because show me someone who's happy with it, apart from someone who loves to batter other people with words, you know, who loves battering people with a hammer.
Okay,
but most of us, we're not happy. And every single day we suffer from the brutality of our thinking system every single day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you know, when you meet someone who really gets off, I mean, quite literally lives for haranguing others and loves it, that, I mean, I can't imagine they've got many friends, but to be constantly attacking others, I mean, the boredom of it, the tedium.
Well, you would hope so, you know, you would, but I don't get that, you know. I think they've got their own traumas and they've learned no other way. And again, the system, had the system been different, they might have actually learned different ways to use their mind.
Mm.
But we are based, according to De Bono, on this system, goes back to the Greeks. It's very logic and reason based. And the thing is, logic and reason never connect with emotions, you know? And yet we keep, every time, you know, we keep, you know, someone's crying, well, you hit them over the hammer, you hit them over the head with a hammer gently and they'll feel better, you know?
Yeah.
Every single thing we have to use this same hammer, hit them over the head, you know, or we'll just gently, you know, try and caress them with a hammer.
Yeah. So I mean, a good example is, have you ever been in a state of grief? And someone comes over and says the absolute worst thing possible at that time. and the look on their face is that they mean the best.
Yeah.
And you've only got to be in that position once in your lifetime to realize that humans are dicks and that the language doesn't work.
No.
Yeah. It's
like, you're feeling really bad because your arm's off. Yes. Well, they can make plastic ones that are almost as good. You'll be able to pick things up with it in all sorts. Fuck off. And that's the problem. We've gotten to the stage now where, put it in another context, that if you want to feminize it and say that the language of compassion and healing and growing is so absent in the day-to-day functioning of a human being, that that all we're left with is this battering ram.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a brutal time to live in. People will say, oh, it's a great time. We've got hot and cold running water and soap. But, you know, aside from those things, how often do we have to be assaulted by the TV or the radio or someone you meet in the street or, you know, a meeting you might have to have?
Friends and family.
Yeah. We'll brutalize you daily, day in, day out. And for them, you're the weird one. What do you mean we should speak compassionately and kindly about the state that we're in? Fuck that. I'm going to hit you with my love hammer. I'm going to pound nails of kindness into your head. And eventually, you'll understand that I love you because I'm hurting you lots.
It's like, good for you.
It's like we've been turned into masochists and we're expected to enjoy the pain.
Yeah.
I would definitely agree with that.
Yeah.
And so there's got to be some people who just go, enough, enough. And we have to want something else. You know, we can do these podcasts because the three of us and the others who've been on this podcast wanted more, wanted something different, wanted to connect, understood how good it feels to, when you speak, to be listened to be allowed the time to struggle to express something that you wouldn't be allowed to express in real, normal conversation, you know?
Yeah.
To not have to be right, to simply be, to have this hungry exploration for other ways of seeing things, other ways of thinking, other ways of being.
Yeah, it's because we must be a bunch of hedonists, because I think we've exhausted the sum total of all the stuff you can do. I mean, the drugs don't work, the sex don't work, the booze don't work, being rich don't work, having lots of friends who love you don't work, fame doesn't work, accolade doesn't work, you know, climbing up the corporate ladder doesn't work, none of that stuff works. It's all completely fucking bollocks and a waste of time. So what's left? Oh, I'll try being human for 5 minutes. Hey, guess what? That works. Whew.
Yeah. And then, so we try, and that's it too. So we're trying to be human and using a system that's inhuman.
Yeah, I know.
That's kind of what it comes down to, really.
Yeah. But we can always tweak this thing. I mean, we're smart. We've been built with some really outrageous cunning skills and tricks. We can rework everything in us.
We are gods. We are creators who have abdicated our responsibility. Yeah, we put a brick on the accelerator of our Lamborghinis and stepped out, you know, and just...
And forgot.
Yeah, we're just out in the field chewing on grass.
What's that plume of smoke in the distance? That's your life. It just hit the wall. Oh, shit.
And imagine, I mean, I'd love to have a go at driving a Lamborghini.
Yeah, that'd
Can
be
you
fun.
Imagine?
A bit of fun.
Especially with what I'm driving at the moment. What might it be like, Jesus, to feel that? And actually, it's quite good, I think, to use a Lamborghini, because that's another one of the things that with the mind and with life is movement. You know you're alive when you're moving.
Yeah. Dead things don't tend to move a lot.
Yeah. A bit like language. Our language doesn't move. That's why, again, another reason why I think the Pantheon fits very well with the concept I was playing with about our minds. It's a concrete structure that lets in a bit of light and that's it really.
Yeah.
Mm.
And it's got patterns on the wall. You look at, oh, look at the pretty patterns. Look how the light shines on the pretty patterns, and you just stay there until you die.
Mm. Now, if I could throw some macro micro in, if you think about it, like you've been talking about the Pantheon. Obviously, the Pantheon is meant to be divine. look at divinity and look at holiness, and then you got religion chucked into the mix. I live in a city where all the churches got knocked down from an earthquake or three. So the pantheon in this town is being demolished. At the moment, the big argument is that we should try and save the cathedral and reestablish it, build it up, strengthen it, you know, because it's a hub. It's a center point of people's, one, identity, and then also religious observance in this town. And I'm thinking, no, no. What's happened in the past year is that the world view that we had got knocked off. You know, its pedestal, it was destroyed. And I'm not, you know, you don't have to attribute to anything other than change. You know, there was change, and the change was incredible and vast and wrenching, and people want to go back to before the change. And I'm saying, you can't. And it's the same around the planet. We can't go back to the, you know, the pre-housing bubble days. We can't go back to, you know, the happy 1950s with everyone living in the suburbs and everything's just Jim Dandy. We can't.
But then it wasn't. But maybe in a sense we need to go back and go, that wasn't real.
That wasn't real. None of this is the thing. None of it's been real. It's been knocked flat on its ass. We're here talking now because we know it's, you know, effectively we've been living a lie. It's all been a lie. I mean, everything. Yeah, everything you touched, everything you picked up, all the words you used to describe stuff, everywhere you went, everyone you met, all the ideas you had, everything on the edge of everything that you felt was either misconstrued or an out-and-out lie. And we're at that point now as human beings. We're going, you know what? You can't keep shoveling bullshit down your throat. Can't be done anymore.
Yeah, I think it's up to our throat, and you know, we're going to go under. It's that quagmire. It's that quicksand. We are sinking. And but you go. None of it's been real. You have to question the entire fucking Western civilization.
Yep, it's
see
been,
it for what it was.
It's been a lie.
Trauma culture. It has been a lie. And there was the Sinead. We played around with the idea at some point of doing a little podcast about our grandmothers. And maybe we'll just pop that in here because we can. It's part of the
Let's just check with the sponsors, shall we? Bilderberg Group.
No, that's fine. You check that in there.
they're fine with it. They say go for it. Yeah.
Because it's another area that there's this idea that, yeah, we go back to the good old days, back to when women were in the home and happy raising their families.
Oh, God, no.
And
the opposite of that.
Oh, dear God, the bullshit, it's horrible. I know I've just been finding out the truth this year. You know, what my grandmother went through.
Same.
And, yeah, Sinead, you know what? I don't even want to talk about what she went through. She's just one case. No, then there's my other grandmother, you know. So one who was alcoholic husband and would be beaten, and another one who was subjected to really quite depraved sexual practices. That's just one thing, okay? Now, those are two grandmothers. They were in a marriage, so they're married, so they've got – and they have their children – and they had no way out, you know? That's just two women. Sinead, what's your past like? What's your grandmother's past like?
Well, actually, I've seen her this week, so it's pretty interesting that we're talking about it now. I don't really know exactly what happened in their marriage, but I know that after my dad was born, she had three kids. My dad was the third to be born, and I know she didn't want him, you know, but it was like, you know, she had to have a kid, you know, because I'm sure that she had to have sex with her husband.
Yep.
So not saying that she didn't want to. I don't really know, you know.
Yeah,
but,
don't know. But they did have to, yeah.
Right. And so I know that after my dad was born, she locked herself. I'm talking quietly because I'm at a family's house.
Sure.
I don't want to be in the closet anymore. so yeah, I came back out to the room. But, you know, she locked herself in her room for a good, you know, 4 years on and off. I mean, she wasn't in the same room for the whole time. I mean, she was severely depressed. My dad walked in on her trying to hang herself in the basement when he was like 3 or 4 years old. And when he was 4 years old, she was giving him a bath. And he was like, who is this? Is this the babysitter? Like, he had no idea who she was because she was so severely depressed. She wouldn't come out of her room for a long time. So, I mean, I don't really know exactly what happened with their within their family. Mm-hmm. But I mean, obviously for someone to be that severely depressed, you know that something's not right. And not even just their personal lives, but in society, mm-hmm. in marriage, in the family unit.
Yeah, the women, well, I can't speak for the men. So it's not like, oh, this is an attack against the men. I'm just talking about what I understand from the women. I had a friend in England who she told me about her mother and how her mother had deliberately got pregnant in order to get away from her family because her family was so shit. And it was agreed. It wasn't the two of them, the one who became the husband. It was both the two of them. Yeah. You know, it was an agreed thing.
Yeah.
And then, so she did that to get away from her family. 11 children later.
Oh my God.
She said how, you know, in the end, she think her mother just regretted it so much. She just stuck, you know, trapped in just a constantly being a baby factory.
Yeah. Go ahead.
No. That's it. I mean, it is. We don't have the truth of what their lives were like. Oh, no, let's go back to the good old days. There was never good old days.
No, there wasn't.
No.
I'm quite sure it was as bad for the men in different ways, but the women, they had no... I know my grandmother on mother's side, he would never even give her any money, so she couldn't go anywhere or do anything. She was completely contained. Yeah. You know, she had no passion, no life outside this family. You know, we want to go back to that. Those were the good old days.
No.
I mean, given the state of the human race, it just seems that we're trying to climb out of hell, and all roads lead to hell. You know, the good old days. You know, things were so much better. It's like, and yesteryear, a time of innocence. No, everything that happens now happened then. They just did it with less electricity. You know, I mean, that's the wearying part of popular history, you know, is that it tries to convince you that there was a golden era, and in that period people were better to each other and things were great and there was lots of food and everybody had a nice time, tra-la-la-la-la. But basically that's a kind of a fairy tale to keep you eating your bloody GMO corn and sit in the corner and rock yourself to sleep, you know, when the drugs wear off.
Yeah,
I'm just trying to find actually there was a bit that De Bono talks about. He talks about history, and he says about how we have an obsession with history and how dangerous it is for us. You know, in a sense, our lives now are based on corpses.
Mm.
Because we keep going back and back and back as if there's – what do you get from a corpse? You know, you'll get maybe maggots and you know, maybe you could get some of the bones and shape them into something, make some nice bone carvings or something, make a few tools, make another hammer.
Set of dice.
But we are, set of dice, that could be all right.
There you go.
But
it's not all bad.
It's, as I scroll through here and I can't find it. but we need to, he said, we've got to start looking to the future, and instead we keep looking back. So all our schooling is based around, what do we do at school? Oh, we study what it was like in the old days. We study, everything has to be built upon what's come before, you know, which supposedly makes a lot of sense, but does it?
Mm.
Because what's come before has already existed. Mm. We need new things. You know, then that's when if you use only what's come before, your imagination has nothing to work with. Oh, we're just going to put these old bones with these old bones and make some a different pattern of old bones.
Yeah, and you can see that in the way we think, our minds have been assembled, you know, through education, through society to think, is that we're just, the cycle seems to be beneficial to someone, so it's been left in place to, and amazingly enough, it has the capacity, I think, to almost self-perpetuate unless a human is left unmolested. You know, and if you leave a person alone, the little buggers, they start growing, you know. They start doing their own thing and having fresh ideas and real experiences and creating their own language to describe the state that they're in. And you can't have that because, you know, people would be happy. So to avoid that, we just keep repeating these stupid cycles over and over again.
But we must, okay? The brain goes circular. So the brain is circular holding patterns. So as soon as you've got a pattern created, it has to, in a sense, it has to go around in a circle.
Yeah.
It's the way it's built. That's how, you know, so the circle of making a cup of tea. So you never lose it. There it is. You know, it's safe. You've got it forever. It's in its holding pattern. Anytime you want it, just pull it up. There's the pattern to make a cup of tea. So awesome.
Good news.
So yeah, so brilliant. As long as you're happy only making tea for the rest of your life, you're going to be very happy. But, you know, maybe you want to create a new drink. You're going to have to bring in something else. You're going to have to introduce a random element to allow yourself to create another thought, another way of doing something. This is one of the things we're not doing. We're not bringing in anything random anymore. Anything that comes in is via the media. The media doesn't bring anything random. It brings the same old shit.
Yeah, it doesn't bring anything new. And just ask yourself, you look at your selection of DVDs or Blu-ray, where it's how many Spider-Man films have there been? Too many. And there's a new one coming out. And it's
And a Broadway show.
Yeah. How many Batman films have there been? Oh, God. I mean, you go through all that sick stuff of the 1990s, and now you've got, you know, what's that crazy actor, Christian Bale, you know, who's only pretending to act. That's him. He is a freaking American psycho, isn't he? and then you've got, he's a British actor, isn't he? But anyway, you've got all that sort of stuff. We've got remakes of just about every movie that ever occurred when Alex and I were just little. Yeah. And now it's all come around again. And it's like they try and modernize it and put a modern spin with the vernacular of the modern youth, you know, and they put in some new bands who, you know, made an entire album off one song, which they got signed up for to do for that particular film. So their careers are shooting through. Then it's just the same. Oh, the human race is literally swirling the fucking plug hole of oblivion, and it's entertaining itself as the ship sinks. It's just
As the ship goes. Yeah, the media is the band playing on.
It's playing on, and some of us have actually built, you know, some reasonably haphazard, but we did ourselves more or less lifeboats. We're paddling furiously. It's not that we've got a destination. We just don't want to be there when the whole thing goes down. Why get sucked under with the rest of it?
Right.
If anything comes out of this bloody crazy year, it's that your humanity remains intact and gets stronger. I mean, the rest of it can, you know, it's going to fall off its perch anyway. So why bother trying to stop it? I mean, you can't stop the world's economy tanking. You can't stop governments doing stupid shit, but you can preserve your humanity.
Well, and maybe beyond that, maybe we don't even have. Maybe we can begin it or create it because.
Or start it from scratch. Right. Or actually start it. Maybe we're actually in the holding pattern. We've never actually kicked it off. It's never actually fired up yet.
Maybe not. Maybe not. Because maybe humanity requires you to be a god.
Mm.
You know, to be your own god, your own a creator. As opposed to a, what are we now, predators or parasites? Because we are.
Parasitic consumers, yeah.
Yeah, we're pretty fucking useless, you know? We're really shameful.
Yes.
As far as the potential of what we've got as opposed to what we do, you know? Put a child beside an adult any day and you're just put to shame.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, we're provided everything. Here's your God. Here's your prepackaged religion. Here's your politics prepackaged. You've got two flavors. You know, you'll like one of those. It's quite nice. Do you know what? And here's a great thing. You can swap if you want to. And you know, here's your foodstuffs, all made by the same eight companies on the planet. And you know, here's your medicine, or made by the, you know, four companies on the planet. Here's your media, made by one company on the planet. So sit back, relax, enjoy, get cancer, need chemo, buy a whole lot of health insurance, drink a whole lot of sugary drinks, get diabetes, have a foot fall off from gangrene, and enjoy your life, young man. And while you're at it, take some Viagra. I don't actually need it. Don't take it anyway.
Yeah.
Right, and don't complain because you have it better than everybody
else.
You
have it so good right now, you know? That nagging doubt in the back of your mind is your mind reminding you that it can have nagging doubts. Oh man, I'm thinking I need something to take the thoughts away. No, if your thoughts go, that means you're dead. That's what I want. I want the silence. I want quiet. Give me some of that. What that? Give me that. We call that the alternative media. Have as much of it as you like.
Oh, no, he's back again. You back again?
I'm back again, am I?
Okay, you fell off for a second.
Yeah, that was weird.
Yeah.
See? Bloody internet demons.
No, that's the Bilderbergers. That was probably a Bilderberger ad. You'll probably find that an ad will be inserted in there in that little space of time.
Yeah.
For the Bilderbergers.
Yeah. They have fries with that.
Mm-hmm.
So, this topic is only really explorable. It's not solvable. It's not... because how do you do that? But maybe in some way we strengthen ourselves by turning to look at something and be willing to see it. You know, but I know there has to be more than that. Oh, so okay, so usable things then. Humor. According to De Bono, humor is the most significant thing the mind does. Now that is just huge. Mm. That is huge. What does that tell us? Look at our world. That's all about seriousness. You turn on the news. You know, everything is seriousness, worry, fear. Mm-hmm. Now we're being told that humor is the most significant. He says that logic and reason are cheap. Okay, anyone can do them. They're cheap commodities. They have their use, but they're cheap because they're easily done. People can make themselves look better because they can talk better. You know, they can use the big words with, you know, big flapping lips with big words and make them sound good. But they can structure that to say whatever they want to say. Humor is different. So you're on your highway pattern going, you know, zinging down the river because that's the way the current goes. Humor just flicks you right over onto a side path because you were going down one way and suddenly, whoop, you're on a completely different path.
Mm-hmm.
That is massively significant. That is that ability to switch, to flick out of one pattern, come back from a different angle, and that's life. He said that the philosophers, so all the people that the Renaissance was built on, all these philosophers, they had to avoid humor because it didn't fit in with their whole, you know, reason, logic. That they couldn't cope with it, so they just had to ignore it. They sweep it under the carpet. And Western, we've done that. You know, it's all swept under the carpet, except you have your comedians, you have your funny, you know, you go there for light relief. You know, we call it light relief, for God's sake. So the most significant thing that the brain does, it's light relief. Hmm. And I mean, Jesus, look at the humor now, and that's just scary. That's not humor. I don't know what the hell they're calling that stuff out there now. It's tripe.
It's scary.
And you know, I've been finding a lot of instances lately where the younger people, they don't understand humor. So that you say something to them, I've had this with a number of people. You're in a shop, you know, you're buying something and you make, as you might do, just make a, you know, say a funny aside or make a comment or say something.
Yeah.
And they don't get it. And what you've said, they take it as an actual question and start answering you or replying to it in a complete, and they missed all the signals.
Yeah. Or they'll just look at you really confused, like you're out to get them or something. Yeah. They're like, are you fucking with me? Are you going to steal something from me?
I mean, you've given every single signal you need to do. You've got the light voice, you've got the look in your eye, the raised eyebrow, all of it. And it's gone right over the top of their head.
Yeah.
Wow, that is scary because what kind of a mind is it that doesn't grasp humor?
A dead one.
Yes. Fitzy, you're very quiet. Are you there? He's very, very quiet.
Fitzy again?
Well, he's just typing now. Oh. Audio problems. Oh, okay. Okay. If he's got audio problems, then he may or may not be recording.
I feel like I can hear somebody typing, though.
What's that?
I feel like I can hear somebody typing. Maybe I'm just imagining it.
It's not me. It might be. Well, nothing else is coming through.
Hmm.
But, I mean, anyway, the conversation's for us as much as it is for anyone else. So,
yeah.
it's honestly the writing this article just has been so painful trying to look at something that is so. It brought back for me all the struggle, like when I was growing up, trying to. Thinking that you have, I think that's it, you know, you think that you have the tools with which to communicate. I think that's the huge mindfuck. You think that because you can speak, you've gone to school, blah, 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 that you can actually, the things, that the words that will come out of your mouth, the way you describe it, will actually reach someone else.
Yeah.
And it is probably one of the most traumatic things probably on the face of this earth. To have every way you try, using these supposedly effective tools, to be turned back on you, to be denied.
You're never able to really feel a sense of understanding in your world.
Yeah. You think you have the tools. You think you're reaching out to someone.
Right.
Go on.
And then when you don't get there, you blame yourself and you think, oh, what's wrong with me? You know, or, yeah.
You do. You can't understand it because you did everything right. You use the proper words.
Right.
Because you all speak the same language. And you didn't attack, and you were sincere.
Yeah.
And so you sent this thing out, and what comes back is like someone fires a cannon in your face or something, you know? Yeah. And you are battered and bloodied, and you can never understand.
Yeah.
Because...
That's a terrible state to be in.
It's so uncomfortable. State. It is. It's a constant state, and it's the one we live in, you know? Yeah. It's the one we live in. The tools that we've been given don't work.
Yeah.
And yet I think most people would rather go to the grave defending those tools because they appear to be the right ones, you know?
Yeah.
You know, they've got it right. This is what you do. This is how they've been taught. This is the way you do it, you know? If you just keep saying the same thing, or you say it this way, or and it fits in with society's rules, then it's right.
Yeah.
But it doesn't work. The tools are broken.
Yeah.
No, they're not just broken. They are dangerous. They are rusty, and they're nasty. You know.
Yeah.
They're nasty. And the thing is as well is that as you use them, it seems that so what's come out of your mouth are like rusty sores, and you didn't mean it. You wanted a hug to come out of your mouth. You wanted friendship. You wanted exploration. You wanted kindness. You wanted, and out of your mouth, it seems, you know, come chainsaws and.
Yeah.
Rusted metal, and it's just heartbreaking.
Yeah, and it keeps you and another person from ever reaching a true understanding of one another or ourselves.
Yeah, we never ever meet each other in the middle. We sparks, you know, and blood flows, and so we find fault with ourselves, we find fault with the other person, and the one thing we don't find fault with. The system in the middle that we're using.
Yeah. Yeah.
We
defend it.
Whoa, Jesus, yeah. Because it's right, you know, because that's what we taught, because that is the main pattern that runs through us now, this pattern of logic and rightness. It is the strongest flow. You know, it's like what every other pattern seems to sit on.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And, yeah, we just don't have. Pause for a second, gonna disconnect and rejoin. Damn, and that was so good.
Oh, man.